Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Raines. In this week, we're going to be talking about the ebbs and flows of the sports retail world, and I am pleased to be joined by one of my coworkers, Maddie Johnson.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm doing well, and we have Maddie on because she is a retail aficionado, you could say.
Oh, thank you. I'm very flattered. I just shop a lot and spend too much money.
So, I mean, that qualifies you more than a lot of people, so that'll give us a lot of good perspectives on what's happening in the sports retail landscape, and I mean, all the cliches are millennials are driving all this change, and you have the tropes of fashion's always cyclical and blah, 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 blah. But how do you stay ahead of these things? And that's what these companies like Adidas and Nike and Dick's Sporting Goods and the Lululemons of the world have to deal with on a constant basis. And I think a good place to start is Lululemon, since they just reported. And why did they do so well, Maddie? Like, what are they doing? What has investors excited? What's Lululemon got going on?
Well, okay, so Lululemon is this big yoga wear company, and they've kind of made their name for themselves as selling really expensive yoga pants and yoga wear. Do you shop at Lululemon?
I have been to Lululemon's. I do not shop at Lululemon.
Okay. Well, I will say for one that their online store, their website has gotten like much better over like, I think just like the past year, like shopping online has gotten incredibly easier. You can, Apple Pay is now like part of their online presence. It's like free shipping, free returns. It's really nice. But kind of back to their earnings, comps were crazy good. Earnings were really good. So if you take out their like Ivivva restructuring, so that Ivivva brand is their girls brand. So they just make like young girls clothing, yoga wear clothing for girls. They beat on earnings. They beat on revenue. Gross margin was, I think, really good again. So people are just, I think it goes back to this overall consumer confidence. So it's at I don't know if it's at an all-time high, but it's just really high. So when people feel confident in the economy, they're going to spend money, and they're going to spend money on $100 yoga pants. So, I mean, at least some people like me, because I've been wanting to spend money on things at Lululemon more than I ever have for really no particular reason, but maybe just because I feel like I can afford it more than I ever have before.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. It does seem to me, from an outside perspective, I see it everywhere. We're in Chicago. I see it everywhere on the L. I see it everywhere on the weekend. I see it everywhere at the gym.
It's the bags. It's the symbol. And it's really a status symbol, I think. Maybe potentially more so for women than for men. I don't want to speak for a lot of men who work out. I can just only attest to myself and for other women like me, but that status symbol, I don't really know what they call it, but it's a little swoopy thing. seeing that, it means something. It says something that like I spent $120 on these leggings and you didn't, and I potentially could be better than you. No. But then I spent $50 on this sports bra. I spent so much, like I spent this amount of money on this t-shirt. Like it just says something that maybe a pair of leggings from the Gap doesn't.
Okay. So you see Lululemon as like a status symbol, and it's built like a lot of just brand equity with a certain clientele. Right.
Just like the Nike swoosh, the Nike, that the symbol, it means something. Mm-hmm. It means, you know, just do it, but not.
Yeah. I mean, so on top of that though, I mean, is Lululemon, I mean, you're showing that, hey, I can pay $100+ for a pair of yoga pants, but as someone who wears them, can you actually tell the difference? Or is it just like, this is Lululemon?
I mean, you can definitely tell the difference between a Lululemon pair of yoga pants versus a $20 pair of yoga pants from Target or Walmart. Absolutely. But I mean, Nike or Under Armour or Adidas, they make probably just as good quality yoga pants for $80 or $90. I mean, that's still a lot of money for a pair of yoga pants. Don't get me wrong. but you're so, I feel like with Lulu, you're paying just that little bit more for the brand.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. And they've been growing pretty relatively quickly, but steadily at the same time. Their CEO came out on the earnings call and said they're on track to hit their 2020 target of $4 billion in annual revenue, which would be a pretty big deal for, I mean...
Yeah, it'd be huge.
For a company, I guess, of this... I mean, it's a pretty niche market. I mean, they're... Are they sold, like, other places besides Lululemon stores?
No.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's... When you think about that, and that's also something that the Nikes and Adidas and Under Armours of the world are also trying to do, is be direct to consumer and not have this overhead of retail businesses that are falling by the wayside. I mean, you have companies in the States that are hurting from, like, Sports Authority going out of business and Foot Locker not doing well. So the fact that Lululemon's sort of already at this point where they have their own standalone stores, they have their improved online business, it seems like they're going in the right direction, sort of, with, I guess,
absolutely,
how they started.
And I will say, we were talking about this a few weeks ago. They have this new sports bra that they spent like 2 or 3 years like perfecting. It's called the Enlite, or the Enlite sports bra. It costs $98. It's like backed by science. It like is like form fits like right to you. It has like rave reviews. It has helped boost sales ever since it went onto the market. So I think products like these that are specialty, that have taken years to perfect. I think if Lululemon starts putting out maybe a pair of yoga pants that are similar in nature to the sports bra, I mean, that could help boost sales even farther.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So in terms of their menswear line, I don't know if you're as familiar. Like, is that growing? Is that something that does well?
Yeah, I think so. Because they have, with men, I mean, I can only assume, like, I mean, I also go in to, like, I've bought things for, like, casual everyday wear. So more like joggers, sweatshirts that I wear, like, on the weekend. And I can only assume men are doing the same thing. So I think that aspect of the company is growing just as much as the women's.
Yeah, I mean, and that speaks on what is the booming sports retail thing, and that's athleisure. That it might be getting to a point where it's oversaturated, but that is where, like, more people are buying their shoes, not necessarily to work out in or run. They're right. Buying tennis shoes just to wear.
Right. Athleisure is more about fashion than it is really about working out, because it's athletic and leisure, or leisure. So, and that's where Lululemon has become a standout. So, right, you said it's oversaturated. You're completely correct. Everyone's trying to get into this market. But, I mean, Lululemon is the leader. There's no denying that.
Yeah, I mean, they basically helped kick off this trend.
They created it. Yeah.
I mean, you have everyone from... I mean, basically, you have, as blunt as it sounds, it's rich people in big cities wearing Lululemon, like, all over the world.
And not necessarily even to work out in.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's, like, their core customer. Sure, like, maybe, like... So, part of their core customer is, like, people who actually work out in the clothes. And, like, the other half of the core customer is people who wear it just to wear it to go to the grocery store.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what a lot of these... That's what Under Armour has failed to do, and that's why this year was a big turning point for them. I mean, they saw their sales decline for the first time since going public. And it really, you can look directly to the fact that, well, first of all, they have no global presence at all. And they just don't sell anything that anyone can really wear off of the basketball court or, like, away from the gym itself. And if you don't have that, I mean, at a certain point, like, how would you expect to grow?
Yeah, I can't remember the last Under Armour. Actually, I do remember the last Under Armour product I bought. It was I was in ninth grade. I was still in the band. And I needed the stuff, like, the warm guard. It's, like, really tight. It's, like, they're, like, turtlenecks.
Yeah, it's, like, what they became famous for, like, that cool wear, heat wear, like, skin-tight stuff.
I needed a white version of that because I was in the marching band, and it was really cold. It was, like, an October night, and it was going to be, like, sleeting out. But we still had to march. I played the clarinet also. I was really good at it, by the way. Nice. And I needed that under my band uniform. It did keep me really warm. I mean, they make great products, but like that is probably literally the last thing I bought from, like, as like an Under Armour product.
Yeah, I mean, and they sponsor all these world famous athletes and Steph Curry, Tom Brady, all these guys, but it doesn't seem to have really helped. So something they've done recently is they've signed a popular hip hop artist, ASAP Rocky, to sort of help grow their brand in a more of a streetwear or just fashion sense, which is what Adidas and Nike have done for a long time and something that Adidas has done a lot in recent years. And that's what I kind of want to ask you, because I have an opinion about it. And some people tell you that like Adidas sponsoring or having a partnership with Kanye West or Pharrell Williams has no direct correlation to them growing. But like, it seemingly does. And I want to know what your opinion is about companies like Adidas, who are sports-based companies, having deals with musicians and people that aren't necessarily athletes. Like, does that help grow their business?
Yes, but I think the product has to be right. So like Kanye West, the Yeezys, I think it all came down to, one, the product, two, the marketing campaign, three, Kanye West already had a fashion line, and he was, the way he like presented the fashion line on the in Paris, in New York, I mean, that worked in his favor. Plus, like, they were good sneakers. It was just like all like a combination of both, like all three.
Yeah, I mean that makes sense. Like, and you have Adidas' CEO coming out and saying like, this Yeezy play wasn't necessarily a revenue generating thing. Like, this is a brand building project, and it's helped a lot because.
But like, they sell out every time.
Exactly. But I mean, it's not, because they're really expensive. His specific shoes are expensive. Yes. So it's not necessarily like an everyday person is going to spend whatever, a couple hundreds of dollars on a pair of shoes. But those then translate to their like slightly lower end model of like the Boost, which is their now shoe you see everyone wearing.
Right, right.
So that's what they're doing. It's just.
But this. I do think what has helped Adidas recently has been bringing back all of its like throwback shoes. So the Stan Smiths, the Superstars, those two in particular, like that, whoever made that decision needs to get like a tenfold raise, because I mean, I remember having the Superstars back when I was 8 years old originally and thinking they were like the coolest shoe then, but then they like weren't that cool. And then now they're like, literally everyone has them. I have the Stan Smiths in red. It's just, they're like the coolest shoe ever. Like, and I mean, that, I think that decision has been incredibly positive for Adidas. And now you see Nike doing the same thing with their throwbacks. So I think that has had a really big impact on these two brands and just like the sneaker industry in general.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you point to the Superstar, that classic, just white with the three black stripes. Basically that's the shoe, pretty simple. And that actually was the number one selling shoe in North America in 2016. So more than Jordan shoes, more than all other sneakers. That, yeah. So that is something, like you say, that is just, it's growing, and it's this fashion sense of these brands. And that's why you have a company like Adidas, who had this plan in 2015 that's then sort of propelled them quickly in the last couple of years in North America, which is by far the biggest sportswear market in the world. I think it takes up like over a third of the whole international sportswear market. So you need to be big in America to be a big global brand. And what they've done also, though, is they've had this plan where they focus on six cities, which is something that you can see like a Lululemon or a Nike doing just sort of by accident, that you have Adidas pointing to. We want to be on the ground floor in New York, LA, London, Paris, Shanghai, and Tokyo. Like, we just want to be in these global fashion meccas in just grassroots. Hip people are wearing it. It's going to translate into everywhere else in America or everywhere else in the world. Do you think like it must work? It must be a solid plan, right? I mean,
streetwear fashion is where like trends really blossom, and that's where like consumer trends then grow and how businesses then like make a crap ton of money. So yeah, I 100% agree with that.
So like it sounds like a trickle down effect, and you'll have people say that like people who study this industry say like, oh, these big partnerships or like having athletes wear your brand doesn't actually directly lead to sales. But I mean, if you don't have hip, famous, cultural icon kind of people who are in the media wearing it, like what do you have? Like how do you have any brand clout if no one important is wearing your brand?
And I will say, I think like Kanye West has like more cultural presence potentially than like, I feel like I'm going to get myself in trouble here, than like a Steph Curry, like in like, he's able to like go into more worlds. Like Steph Curry is basketball.
Yeah.
Tom Brady is football. You know, Kanye West is fashion. He's music. He's literally anything he wants to be, yeah. Right? You know, even though he's a jerk, yeah. He's anything that he wants to be. He's molded himself into many different forms. So I think it's smart for Under Armour to bring on someone like A$AP Rocky, who's similar in style and tone and just persona to someone like Kanye West.
Yeah, and I mean it's...
But also, like, the product has to be the product. Like, can Under Armour make a Yeezy shoe? I don't know.
Yeah, and that, I mean, that's what it comes down to, too. It's like, they've hired
designer. Steph Curry Under Armour shoes, those were ugly.
Yeah, and I mean, those aren't shoes you will ever see anyone wearing off of a basketball court.
Those are not fashion. Absolutely not.
I mean, really, when it comes down to basketball shoes that you see people wearing or sneakers that you see people wearing away from doing something athletic, it's Jordan Brand, which obviously Nike owns. Jordan Brand is world famous. It's Michael Jordan. Everyone knows Michael Jordan. Those shoes are everywhere. People wear them with suits. I mean, you see people on the red carpet wearing Jordans. And that's something that Under Armour might never get to. So it has to be, they have to try to find a happy medium. But you do, like you said, like Kanye West can get into all of these different worlds where a Steph Curry doesn't translate, because you might like to watch basketball, but if you don't play basketball, you're never going to buy a basketball shoe. Whereas you can buy a sneaker and just wear it around. Like, I'm not just going to buy a basketball shoe to walk around on a Saturday.
Right.
So if you don't have that kind of shoe, like Under Armour doesn't at this point. Like, I never see anyone wearing any Under Armour shoes ever. That might be an exaggeration, but...
But like out and about.
Exactly. Yeah. And like in a big city on a Saturday afternoon, you will not see a fashionable or trendy person wearing Under Armours. I pretty much will bet you $1 billion that you will not see that. Like, it's just, you won't.
You see Adidas Stan Smith. You see Vans. You see, I guess it's because it's 2017. You see Skechers Delights because those are trendy now, apparently.
I didn't know that.
Do not give me that look. They're on Instagram. Fashion bloggers are wearing them. This is why Skechers stock is so hot right now. I don't understand it. Again, I had those also when I was in third grade. 2017 is wild.
Yeah, and I mean that, like you're talking about fashion bloggers and Instagram in, I hate to use the phrase, this social media world, but it is a social media world. So those are the facts So you have a company like Nike who already has all of this brand clout, and they have Jordan Brand, and they have hip-hop artists and NBA players who wear these shoes, but they're also doing something where they have a guy who's actually been associated with Kanye West since like the early 2000s, Virgil Abloh, I think is his name. Virgil something. I'm going to butcher his name, but I knew his name. It's weird last name. He started this fashion company a couple years ago, Off-White, that's now become sort of Instagram-y kind of famous. They partnered with Nike to do this new like 10 shoe reimagining of all these classic Nike sneakers and Jordan sneakers. They basically put them in high-end sportswear shops all around the world. So they're like got this exclusivity to them. And then they send them to soccer stars and NBA players. And then all of a sudden, because now every single one of those people has millions of Instagram followers, you're like, oh, what's this? Why can't I spend money on this? I want, like, that's how it works, basically. Like, these companies can just crowdsource all of this. Like, they don't even need to have advertising campaigns anymore.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, you look at Rihanna's partnership with Puma, and that was huge for her. I think she has had like two or so collections, and it was all documented really through her social media account and Puma's social media account. And it was like pictures on Instagram, Instagram stories. The collection was like well received. She's in her own right, she's a fashion icon at this point. But I mean, her presence like with the Puma brand has been, I think, huge for Puma, because I think Puma was like irrelevant, to be honest, like for a while there. And then it was like, oh, Rihanna fashion line. Okay. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, it sounds so simple, but I mean, and I hate to bring up people that I really don't like, but I mean, you have someone who obviously is once again associated with Kanye West, the Kardashian family. Like, if you can have these young girls, I mean, what's the one sister who has a line of makeup?
Oh, Kylie.
I mean, she can put out on Instagram basically and sell millions of dollars worth of makeup in like 5 minutes. Like, why wouldn't more of these companies just partner with Kylie Jenner? Like, stuff like, I mean, that's...
I don't know.
It sounds that
first
simple.
First of all, the Kardashians are amazing businesswomen, and I think we should probably all look to them if we want to start a business. Anyways.
I'm certainly not disagreeing with you that they have built $100 million empire, and they're everywhere.
Oh, it's like unreal.
But I just don't like them personally. Whatever. That's beside the point. I don't
they're
know them personally.
They're fun to follow on social media.
What do they have? Like a billion people following?
Two of them
following?
Are pregnant now. Possibly three. What? Anyways, back to sports.
No, I mean, well, they are connected to sports.
That's true.
And that, especially in America, I mean, it's also true in other places, but in the States, I mean, sports and music and movie stars and entertainment, it's all just one, because there's only so many people that can relate to making $30 million a year. So why wouldn't like a LeBron James be friends with Jay-Z? Like, their lifestyles are similar. That's how people like, you know what I mean? Like, Nike, LeBron's a Nike guy. Then I actually think Jay-Z might even be loosely affiliated with Puma at this point, because Rihanna is like Rock Nation artist. I've seen him wearing jumpsuits, funny enough, on Instagram. Puma.
Jay-Z in a jumpsuit?
Jay-Z in like a Puma tracksuit. Actually looks pretty killer.
All right.
But now we're getting a little off the rails here. But it just comes back to the point of, do these brands need a celebrity presence? Like, and not an athlete presence? Like, would, if Under Armour dropped Steph Curry tomorrow and Tom Brady and Cam Newton and Bryce Harper, and then just somehow flipped Kanye West over to their side, do they make a change instantly, do you think? I mean, is it as simple as that, or is there just something that a company like an Under Armour is lacking? I know that's a big question.
It is a big question. I think it's, again, I think it is like really the product over the years, though, because I feel like Adidas has always been iconic, right? Nike's always been iconic. You've always wanted to own something. You've always wanted to own a Nike shoe. They've always had, well, I mean, Nike, I think is, I mean, they have the Air Max, they have the Huarache shoe right now. They were bringing all those back. They have the Cortez. They have like, I don't know, so many sneakers, and the Jordans, and Adidas has all of those, which we just listed. And they've created a brand. Under Armour isn't really known outside of the sports world.
Yeah. And also
So I think if you don't have a product, then it doesn't really matter who you take on. like as a spokesperson.
Yeah.
If you don't have a product that resonates with a broad swath of consumers, then it doesn't really matter if you have a celebrity like Kanye West representing you. Like a match, like Adidas and Kanye West, that was a perfect match. It just like fit. You have a global fashion, like a global fashion company, a global apparel company, and a celebrity that like really wanted to get into fashion, made a shoe, and it just like, boom, it worked.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's what Nike and Adidas do that Under Armour also doesn't, is they make a majority of their money from shoes. Like, whereas even though as Under Armour was growing, they were still making less than half of their revenues from apparel, which it's just, it's not as high of a margin business. They're not as expensive. So that's something they need to improve on, and it's unsure if they can. But then also, sort of as we kind of wrap this up slowly, in terms of looking to the future of retail, which is like these experiential retail spaces and not having your stuff in a mall and stuff like that. And you have Nike finally, after years and years and years of fighting openly with Amazon, making a deal this summer to sell their stuff. Like, do you think these companies will be like in 20 years at traditional retailers? I mean, obviously some places, but like, what do you think it's going to look like? I mean, this is totally speculative, but I think it's fun.
Well, I do think there are going to be brick and mortar stores left. I think if you just look at like the turnout that we saw this past Black Friday, people still want to go out and shop. So yes, like Cyber Monday that was like America's largest online shopping day ever. But I mean, if you look at the whole weekend, people went out and shopped. They went out because they liked it, because it was an event, right? But I also think that precursor there was retailers have to make shopping an event, an experience, right? So I think what companies like Under Armour can learn from there is you turn your stores into a shopping event and into a shopping experience. You have companies like Restoration Hardware turning their stores into galleries, right? They're showcasing their inventory. They're putting restaurants in. Urban Outfitters bought a pizza chain, an upscale pizzeria, like 2 years ago ish, and they're starting to incorporate those pizzerias into their Urban Outfitters stores. So bringing in customers with pizza, hoping these customers will leave with a full stomach and some clothes. So you have to entice customers to get out of their homes and shop in the age of like the digital. And I think that's really important going forward.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, you have Nike, I think it's like 2 years old at this point, but it's slowly gaining more traction. It's a sneaker specific app. I think it's like an abbreviation. It's just like sneakers, but not spelled out with all of the letters. And they do stuff where it's almost like this virtual reality thing where you see like something in the newspaper or like a magazine, and you take a picture of this Nike sneaker, and then you have to find it somewhere. It's like these crazy concepts of how can we just build more like attention in consumer, like we want this, like this is a part of the culture at this moment. And like, obviously brick and mortar is still going to be around. Like, it's not just going to disappear.
Right.
We're not just going to live in this weird, like dystopian world where no one leaves their house. Like, well, hopefully I never do, because that would be the weirdest thing ever. But it's the challenge of how do we survive as big malls disappear, as big sports retailers go out of business. I mean, Dick's Sporting Goods is doing relatively well. I think their full year revenues are supposed to be up a decent amount, but their business is being challenged constantly, and I know Nike's actually slowly trying to basically transition out of smaller sports retailers and retailers in general. Like, they're just trying to pare that down, so they're only working with big companies or like hip companies. Like, they're still going to be at small places, but just not small places that are uncool. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I guess it all comes down to, like, where does it go? No one really knows at this point, but they just know that they have to build basically more brand awareness at all times than they ever needed to before. Yep. Because you can't expect someone just to go into a shopping mall, see an Adidas store and then a Nike store and just walk in and buy your shoes. And, like, I mean, I just don't think that's what anyone's expecting anymore.
I agree. Yeah.
So we spent a lot of today talking about how celebrities and, at this point, non-athlete celebrities are driving these big sportswear companies, Adidas and Nike, and then how Under Armour has kind of been hurt by their lack thereof, one of those people. But then this isn't necessarily true. Like, you don't have to grow your brand this way today, because one of the first companies we talked about was Lululemon, and they basically have no endorsements to speak of whatsoever. So it's a quickly changing sports retail landscape, but there's a lot of possibilities going forward. And I want to thank Maddie again for joining me today. And
thank you for having me. It's been so fun to talk about fashion and sneakers, and now I want to go buy a new pair of shoes.
Exactly. All right. Well, that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Rains. And remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.